This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah al-Alim al-Khabir. Al-Mutqin nizam al-Alami bila mu'in wa nasir. Fasubhanallah al-Ladhi hikmatuhu balighatun wa ilmuhu wazir. Wa ni'amuhu wasilatun ila kulli saghirin wa kabir. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahda. La sharika lahu fi naqirin wa la qitmir. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون صدق الله العظيم. Friends and elders, the human race from birth comes and arrives on earth at a point of total ignorance. تعلم فليس المرء يولد عالما. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, develop within yourself the ability to acquire knowledge, because no person is born learned. لا تعلمون شيئا. We knew absolutely nothing. So throughout our life, we need to learn. A Nabi receives revelation till his last breath. How is it that we reach certain points in our life where nobody can tell us? واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله was the final revelation sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, 80 odd days before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing away. Then idha jaa nasrullah was the last surah in its entirety, hence it's known as suratu tawdi', the chapter of bidding farewell. Yastaftuna kulillahu yuftikum fil kalala. Kalala refers to a person who doesn't have ascendance or descendants in terms of the inheritance of that person. So these were the final verses and the absolute final verse of revelation upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wattaqu yawman turja'una fihi ila Allah, and fear that day in which you would return to Allah. The pious have written that amongst the many ways through which a person can reform himself, and this was found amongst our salaf, was mu'akhat. Mu'akhat was where two people will pay up frankly, candidly, openly. Listen, bro, me and you are going to pay up. You're going to say it to me as it is, and I'm going to say it to you as it is. I won't take offense, you won't take offense. Because the brutal truth is, we're super accommodating to our own weaknesses, and we're super sensitive to the weaknesses of others. You never heard of any person who got offended when he was excused, the pun and the phrase and the expression, when a person is in the washroom and he needs to relieve himself, or he needs to pass stool, or he needs to defecate. Never have you ever heard of a person getting offended with the stench of his own stools. It's like, you know what, yeah, we need ventilation. No, he could sit there half an hour. Never was a person offended. But if somebody has to release gas here, like, brothers, can we open? We need cross ventilation. That's how we are. And this is the problem in our lives. And this is the problem in our marriages. Our own, we justify, we tolerate, we overlook. But you don't know how you're sounding. I can see. And I don't know how I'm sounding. That's the brutal truth. So the problem we have today is, there's nobody to tell us. You know, I often say, ineni kewai. Aje koineni kewai. Ajni wo ne ni kewai, hao ne ni kewai, wo ne ni kewai, koi ne ni kewai. Nobody can be told. Yes, we can argue. There's a format, there's a discipline, there's a methodology. There's not anyhow. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said that if you want to advise me, then do so in a discreet way. جَنِّبْنِ النَّصِيحَةَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ فَإِنَّ النُّصْحَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ نَوْعٌ مِّنَ التَّوْبِيخِ لَا أَرْضَى إِسْتِمَاعًا تَغَمَّدْنِي بِنُصْحِكَ فِي انْفِرَادِي تَغَمَّدْنِي بِنُصْحِكَ فِي انْفِرَادِي
وَجَنِّبْنِ النَّصِيحَةَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ فَإِنَّ النُّصْحَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ نَوْعٌ مِّنَ التَّوْبِيخِ. Listen, brother, if you want to advise me, don't do it in public, because then I don't know if you have my interests at heart or you want to expose me. I don't know. I'm not convinced. وَجَنِّبْنِ النَّصِيحَةَ. Take me one side and advise me. فَإِنَّ النُّصْحَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ نَوْعٌ مِّنَ التَّوْبِيخِ. Because addressing my wrong in public is probably more exposing than advising. لَا أَرْضَى إِسْتِمَاعَ. I cannot listen. So we can argue that and we can discuss that. There is a protocol, there is a way. But let's be frank, let's be honest. Let's grab the bull by its horns. Let's bite the bullet. Can my spouse talk to me? Can my children talk to me? Can I be told? If I cannot be told, that's a recipe for disaster. Because I am a fallible creature. Fallibility is part of my composition. The way I've been made up, I've said this in my talks often, as a student, and of course we remain students throughout our lives because we're learning all the time. In English they say, every time you meet a person, he surely knows one thing you don't know. Be sure not to leave him till you don't learn it. Whoever you meet in life, wallahi, whoever you meet, everybody can teach you something. And I've seen it across the years of my travels in different countries, continents, people can teach you, and there's always something. Insan seekhne pe aaye to dusro ki galti se bhi seekh sakta hai, aur na seekhna chahe na to apni galti se bhi nahi seekhta hai. Insan seekhne pe aaye na to dusro ki galti se bhi seekh sakta hai, aur seekhna na chahe to apni galti se bhi nahi seekhta. If you want to learn, you will learn from the folly of others. And if you don't want to learn, you'll make the folly yourself. You know, my first marriage, not me, I'm giving an example, I like to qualify my statements. First marriage broke up, second marriage broke up, third marriage broke up, but I can promise you, chef, it's not me. Okay, come again. I didn't get you there. Three marriages in a row, in succession, and you're arguing that you're a victim all across. Now I need to take that not with a pinch of salt, but a pound of salt. I beg to differ. You're still innocent? You're still advocating your innocence, exonerating yourself? How do you do this? My message for myself, and wallahi, this has happened to me, while I was sitting here, Allah put the thought in my mind that that's what I should speak of. And this happens all the time to me, it's like, should I say this? No. And then Allah just put this, that this is the topic, and I'm sure it will be good for each one of us. We have to develop within ourselves the capacity that we can be told. That's the beginning. When a person is diagnosed with a condition, the first reaction is denial. And as long as the patient is in denial, you cannot administer treatment. I don't have cancer. I don't have. Who said so? No. These things are inaccurate. This is not reliable. Who said so? It's probably fake. So he's fighting it. And as long as he's fighting it, we cannot treat it. Then gradually he settles in. Okay, maybe it could be. But it could be benign. It's maybe not malignant. It could be benign. It's not active. It's not malignant. And then gradually he starts settling in. I've got an anger problem. I've got a pride problem. I've got an arrogant problem. Have we accepted, and I'm talking to myself, the point I want to focus is that the pious used to make mu'akhat, and in that they used to, you see, in the previous times, the salaf, their inner self was so alert, so sensitive. If a person is eating healthy food, GMO free, right, not genetically modified, so if he's going to eat anything that is got any, you know what, colorants in it, or anything that's fake, or anything that's not pure, or it's not organic, immediately he's going to tell you the sugar in here. This is not stevia. This is sugar. I can tell you. This is sweetened. Why? Because he only eats pure. But the one that's eating like you and I, the regular, the average, the common, the fast food, all those things, oh, I don't know. Was it naturally sweetened, or it was, used through processed sugar? The pious were those, their own inner self. Muhammad bin Sirin said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا جَعَلَ لَهُ وَاعِظًا مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ يَأْمُرُهُ وَيَنْهَى. When Allah intends good for a person, then Allah activates his soul. And his soul will then encourage him to good. And his soul will send him a distress signal if he's doing something wrong. His own self will be so strong. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is walking and he sees a person walking slow. So Umar radiallahu anhu nudged him and said, walk fast. And Umar radiallahu anhu had that eye that he wanted people to be up, to be productive, to be, you know what, they mustn't be lame, they mustn't be lethargic, they mustn't be, there's no drive, there's no motivation in them. So Umar radiallahu anhu nudged him from the rear and he said, hey, move, man. And so the guy took it, okay, and he started moving. The Prophet ﷺ's walk, the Sahaba described, was a brisk walk. But look at the qualifying statement. A brisk walk is an upright walk. And an upright walk can so easily be taken to be a proud walk. But what do the companions say? The Prophet ﷺ had a brisk walk, but it was though he was descending from a flight of stairs. And Fatima radiallahu anha, مَا كَانَتْ مِشْيَتُهَا تُخْتِئُ مِنْ مِشْيَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. That from the rear, if you see Fatima radiallahu anha walk, she was a splitting image of the walk of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So a bright, brisk, upright, meaningful walk. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم would be walking, yet it would appear that he's descending from a flight of stairs. Subhanallah, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu nudged the person and told him, move. A year later, Umar radiallahu anhu met him and أخرج كيسا. He took out a bag. فيه ستة مئة درهم. In that there were 600 dirhams. And then he gave it to him and he said, استعن بهذا على حجك. I believe you're going for Hajj. He said, yeah. He said, use this bag. Use the 600 dirhams. Use it in Hajj. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهَا مِنَ الصَّفَقَةِ الَّتِي صَفَقْتُكَ عَامَ أَوَّلِ. The narration is in Hayatul Sahaba. I'm giving you this to atone, expiate and compensate. Last year, give or take, it was 1 year ago, you were walking and I nudged you. And subsequently, it left me restless. I think that was an overstep and an abuse of my authority towards you. Salman radiallahu anhu is in the congregation. Umar bin Khattab is addressing the people. He says, Ayyuhan nas isma'u wa ati'u. O people, listen and oblige. So Salman radiallahu anhu said, La sam'a laka wa la ta'a. Sorry, Umar, we're not listening. I mean, it's a public address. He's on the pulpit. He's delivering a sermon. And he makes a public address. And Sayyidina Salman says, like, listen, we're not focused. So he says, why? He said, from the spoils of the campaign, we all received one cloth. And looks like you have a loincloth and an upper garment. So I don't want to cast aspersions, but my mind is just wondering, why is it you have two and we have one? So maybe you want to put my anxiety to bed and then I can focus. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu called Abdullah bin Umar. He said, come here, O my son, and reply to Sayyidina Salman radiallahu anhu. He said, oh Salman, the share that was assigned for me, the one cloth, I gifted it to my dad. So the one he has belongs to him and one was mine. He said, okay, now everything has been quelled. The mind is at ease. You've cleared the air. You can go ahead so that we're not thinking anything otherwise. There was the capacity, the threshold to embrace, to listen, to be told, to be advised. So that's why there was the growth. There was the molding. So then they became giants. They became legends. They became illuminated stars. They were galaxies. And they were spreading this light across the globe. And this is the challenge, unfortunately. Nobody can be told. And that cancer spreads and spreads. And it creates so many things. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, it's authentic narration. He was delivering a discourse. And in the talk he said, المال مالنا والفيء فيءنا فمن حال بيننا وبينه. That the wealth, the national treasury belongs to me and I have access over it. And whoever we want, we will give it to him. And if we don't want, we will reserve the rights. So nobody said anything. The next week, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, in his sermon, he made a sweeping statement again. He said, the national treasury, I have access, I have control, and I'm in charge, and it's my prerogative. Again, sweeping statement, no objection, no reaction, nobody responded. The third week, he said it again. One person from the congregation stood up and he said, oh Muawiyah, I take exception to this year. We as the public, we as the subjects, we have access to this year. And we have a right in it. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, after the salah, summoned him. Qalib in the narration is in Tabrani. And he was ushered into a private setting with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. People said, oh, this man is going to meet his fate. He's challenged the Amir. He's challenged the statement of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. After a period of time, some people went in that private setting to see Muawiyah radiallahu anhu with this companion, only to discover it is a most friendly and relaxed and mutual setting of mutual discussion. So they said, oh Muawiyah, what is this? Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, one of the signs of an evil ruler is that he will do things that is out of line and nobody can address him and challenge him. I said what I said deliberately to provoke a response. The first week I said it, I got no response. I feared I'm from that evil leaders. The second week I said it again, nobody challenged me knowing that I said the wrong thing. My fears got louder. The third week I said it, this man took me on. Ahyani, ahyahullah. He actually gave me life. And by him challenging me, he took me out of the category of bad rulers. May Allah bless him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is delivering a talk. La tughalu fi muhurin nisa. Don't give women exorbitant dowry. Don't give women exorbitant dowry. A woman after the salah, after the khutbah comes to him, said, Umar, are we bound by the legislation of the Quran or by your dictates? So Umar said, no sister, by what Allah says. Said, well then I find inconsistency in your statement and the verses of the Quran. Look at how learned the people of that time were. Look at the knowledge. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, in which verse are you referencing, sister? So she said, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, juz 4, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ. And if you intend dissolving one union and you want to replace it and move on to another marriage, and you had given your former spouse a large treasure. So there's a subtle hint to the permissibility of giving large treasures. Though the ayah is driven to impress another point, and that is at the point of dissolving the union, don't claim what you gave. But on a subtle note, the Quran affirms and condones and makes it permissible. What did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say? He said, أصابت إمرأةٌ أخطأ رجلٌ كل واحد أفقه من عمر. A woman is correct, and Umar has erred, and this is not the first time this has happened. Trust me, I consider all of you to be more learned than me. I'm saying, the more we open ourselves to allow people to tell us. My dad, one of his advisors, he gives us, and I've shared it often, he says to myself and my siblings, and I've quoted it in my talks as well, he said, oh my children, have a demeanor that you appear to be amenable, accessible. So carry yourself in such a way that if a person needs to ask you a favor, he can ask you. In the end, either you could deliver on it or you cannot, depending on your circumstances. But let it not be that your body language is such that people don't have the ability to even approach you. Let your body language give off that, you know what, I can try here. I can speak to this man. By his nature, by his approach, I think he's accessible. He's accessible. He's amenable. So we need to make ourselves accessible in a way that people can alert us. Brother, you know the way you spoke to your employee, I don't want to get in your space, but I think that was uncouth. That was not measured. That was not good language. That it's just not in order. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. And the scales of justice will be placed, and no soul will be oppressed in any way. O Nabi of Allah, إِنَّ لِي مَمْلُوكِينَ. I have some helpers, some workers. Sometimes they overstep the mark, sometimes I overstep the mark. How would this fare before Allah? Nabi Sallallahu said it would be balanced and measured if your infliction is proportionate to their offenses. Kana kafafa la laka wala alay. It will just square out. You won't have any deficit nor any credit. But if perchance your tone was more harsh than their mistakes, then revenge and retribution will be taken from you to offset the abuse. So he said, well, then I think it's better I just liberate them. Abu Mas'ud Badri says, radiallahu anhu, I was reprimanding my worker and my helper, and I was, you know, being strong and stern and harsh, and I was about to, you know what, flog him, and from the rear, or strike him from the rear, someone said to me, لَاللَّهُ أَقْدَرُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْكَ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الْغُلَامِ. Allah has more authority over you than you have over him. When I turned, lo and behold, I froze. It was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet, so then I looked at him and I said, I think I just liberate him and free him and just back off. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ama law lam taf'al la lafahatka an-nar." Well, if you don't do it, hell won't leave you. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was giving a talk. I'm saying every one of us. So I was saying, as a student, I used to always make this dua. Oh Allah, make me a good child to my parents. And I try. And my kids know it as well, how passionate I am to serve my parents, because I believe that's the catalyst for good in your life. This, the barakah that serving parents, it's a topic I'm very passionate about, and I've spoken about it many a times in many of my talks. Your parents help you to take the first steps of your life, at least help them to take the final steps. Don't walk away from the man who taught you how to walk. Don't walk away from the man who taught you how to walk. One of the signs of Qiyamah is أَدْنَى صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْصَى أَبَاهُ. A person will take pride in identifying with his friend, and he'll feel offended in identifying with his father. Like, who's your dad? You know so-and-so, we're colleagues. No, who's your dad? You know Dr. This? Yeah, we were roommates. No, who's your dad? Ah, just one old guy, man. Yeah, very simple. Sorry, man, my dad, sometimes the way he's a bit, the way he's messy. And what? Back off! You ashamed? You embarrassed? Woe be to you and your degrees. Allah's Nabi said that's your door to Jannah. Al-walidu awsatu abwaabil Jannah fa in shi'ta hafidh ala dhalika al-bab wa in shi'ta da'. You subjecting your dad? Dad, I just took the car for a valet. You just want to dust your feet. Dust? You telling your dad to dust his feet? Umma Habiba, in her love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, her father came to visit her. She's one of the consorts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, the incident's going to take up time. Let me keep focus here. Adna sadiqahu aqsa aba, one of the signs of Qiyamah, is a person who will take pride. That's my friend. And distant himself from his father. Abdul Aziz bin Abi Rawad said, if you lost your parents and they had debts, and you had wealth, and you didn't offset their debts, كُتِبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَاقٍ, you will be recorded as a disobedient son. Allah gave you wealth. I met a man in Seychelles myself. He says, I wasn't a good son to my parents. My dad passed on, he left behind debts. And I said to myself, you know, my whole life's been all over the place. Now my father's left behind. Ya Allah, I want to pay my dad's debts. I told my siblings, back off, you guys can do whatever. I'm going to take care of this here. And I just made a vow to myself, I'm going to work. He said, just the intention. Allah gave me so much barakah. I was a pauper. I was living on the streets. I paid every cent my dad owed to his creditors. And Allah gave me 10-folds more. This is what he told me personally. So I was saying to you that as a formal student, if that's the right expression, I used to always pray to Allah, Allah, make me a good child to my parents, that my parents are proud of me, and make me a good student to my teachers and my tutors. And so you go through the different stages, phases, and milestones of life, and before you realize, you summit the hill, and you're standing on top, and now the cap of fatherhood is on you, and the cap of a teacher is on you, and you realize that you could be a brilliant child, but a hopeless father. You could be an amazing student, but a terrible teacher. And you realize it's a learning game altogether. A good child doesn't equate a good father. You could be amazing as a child, but listen, you're raising another generation, and you're going to start all at the bottom. Allah's blessed me now, alhamdulillah, with one granddaughter, and pray for her and for all our kids. And I'm like, okay, now it's a new cap on. There's a different feather here. What do I do here now? How do I manage this here? What is it? Hassan radiallahu anhu was 6 when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. But he conveys to us the hadith, da'ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuk. Leave that which is doubtful and go to that which is not doubtful. So, what was the richness of the transmission of the communication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam impressed upon his grandson in that 6 years of his life, that he preserved this hadith, which is a basis of so much juristic deductions. I'm saying, as a maternal grandfather or a paternal grandfather, what impressions are you making on your grandchildren? Bring Nana cigarettes. You mustn't smoke like Nana, eh? Very bad. Cigarette ni piwani dikla. Cigarette ni piwani. What? Our children pay more attention to what we do than say. They're watching more than they're listening. They're observing. So my point is, we are learning throughout our life. And we're never on top of the game. And we're never smart. And there's always things that need to be told to us, the way we talk, the way we behave, the way we conduct ourselves. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam stands up. Qama Musa khatiban fi bani Israel. And he's delivering a talk. And in the talk, somebody said to him, Man a'lamun nas? The hadith is in Bukhari, right in the beginning. O Musa, who's the most learned? Ana, me. And academically, that answer is correct, because he is the Nabi of the time. And he is the most learned. But of course, the nurturing of a prophet takes place at a very, very high level, because he is a guide for the entire nation. So the tarbiyah, the nurturing process of a prophet, is on a very high level. People came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 questions. Tell us about the soul, the human soul, right? What does it entail? Until today, it's a mystery to scientists. They can evolve and develop whatever, but nobody can incubate a soul. Nobody can incubate a soul. It's just beyond, it's outside their realm. It is heavenly, it's not material, it's not earthly, it's heavenly. So tell us about the soul. And Allah gave a very brief reply as well. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The second thing is, tell us about the 7 sleepers, those who slept in the cave. And the third is, tell us about Dhul Qarnayn, the man who traveled the east and the west. And so the Prophet said, I'll tell you tomorrow. And he وسلم, slipped up to say, Insha'Allah. And nisyan is not against the station of Nabuwah. To forget is not contrary to a Nabi. Because a Nabi, as much as he's a prophet, he's a human. He's a mortal. And forgetfulness is part of a human makeup. And the scholars have written that this is actually a blessing of Allah upon us, that a prophet is not exempted from these things, so that it gives us direction even in those situations. If a prophet did not forget, then okay, when we forget, what do we do? If a prophet didn't get hungry, then okay, so when we get hungry, what do we do? And that's the beauty of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's so encompassing on every aspect, so in every regard. And the disbelievers objected and they said, oh no, but he eats. Oh no, but he has children. Oh, but he goes in the marketplace. And Allah said, but why are you objecting to my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That happened to all the prophets. قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ I'll just give you a quick reference. I'm not the first prophet. I'm not the new one. I'm the last one. You should be familiar with the concept of prophethood. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَيَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ All the prophets walked and they got married. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً So, it happened to each prophet. It happened to each prophet. They had spouses, they had children, and in that was guidance for us. So they objected, the disbelievers, they said, no, we wanted an angel to be a prophet. So Allah said, well, if the earth was inhabited by angels, then I would have sent a prophet as an angel. But the earth is inhabited by humans, so I send a prophet as a human. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكًا رَسُولًا So anyway, Musa alayhi salam is delivering a talk, and somebody asked him, who's the most learned? And he said, me. The hadith of Bukhari, فَعَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مُوسَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reproached Musa alayhi salam, the tarbiyah. I was saying about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three questions were asked. He said, I will tell you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot to say, Insha'Allah. For 15 days, revelation was paused. And these people who came to ask the question, they said, see, you don't have the answer. We told you, you're not a prophet. We told you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is anticipating. But a disciplined process was put, and then the verse was revealed, and the answers were given, and in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala impressed upon our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going forward, don't make a commitment until and unless you don't pay the mention by saying, Insha'Allah. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ So that's the stringent level of the discipline and the tarbiyah. You and I don't say inshallah daily. Allah doesn't deny us anything. We say so many things. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll meet up tomorrow and we'll do this tomorrow. Allah out of His kindness and clemency. His kindness and His clemency doesn't deny us. But a Nabi's tarbiyah is taken to a very, very great level. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, who's the most learned? He said, me. فَعَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مُوسَى The hadith of Bukhari. Allah reproached Musa alayhi salam, إِذْ لَمْ يَرُدَّ الْعِلْمَ إِلَيْهِمْ Because he did not direct knowledge to Allah. And then Allah said, go to Khidr or Khadir. Both are correctly pronounced. In fact, Hafiz ibn Hajar said, Khadir is the more correct pronunciation versus Khidr alayhi salam. And Allah told Musa alayhi salam, go there. So Musa alayhi salam had the knowledge of the Sharia, through which you can gain proximity to Allah and ultimate entry into Jannah. While Khidr alayhi salam had ilmu asrar al-kawn, the knowledge of the mysteries of the world. Health, wealth, sickness, prosperity, adversity, sickness, death, all these things. But that knowledge, compared to the knowledge that Musa alayhi salam had, Musa alayhi salam's knowledge was far greater. Because this is knowledge that you acquire, obey, oblige, comply. It takes you to the Almighty. While the knowledge of Khidr is also knowledge that Allah had given him, but it is not knowledge by achieving this year, you know what, you get any closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just the fact that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam gave off a response and I am more learned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tasked him to travel. And in Bayanul Quran, Hakimul Ummah says, the reason why Allah made him travel and meet a man who had another science and another knowledge, لِتَعْلِيمِ الْإِحْتِيَاطِ فِي الْكَلَامِ, to impress upon Musa alayhi salam the importance of exercising precaution when replying or claiming. I mean, imagine me. Sayyidina Musa was the most learned. Musa alayhi salam is a Nabi. From the prophets, he features in the higher ranking prophets. You need to know this. So this is a verse of the Quran. We don't discriminate any prophet. It's a verse of the Quran. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُّسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُّسُلِهِ. We do not discriminate amongst the prophets. However, the Quran, categoric, explicit, unequivocal, opening verse of the third juz, Allah says, we have elevated some over the others within the galaxy of the prophets. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلِ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. And we have surely elevated some prophets over others. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. They are referred to as أُولُو الْعَزْمِ. They are five. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى ابْنِ مَرْيَمَ. I'm giving you the reference, the ulama, you can verify what I'm telling you. These are known as the Ulul Azm. In fact, the hadith of Sahih Muslim is that the angel of death came. The hadith of Sahih Muslim, the angel of death came to Sayyidina Musa to remove his soul. Sayyidina Musa slapped him. My brother, I doubt anything in the world. I have no doubt on what my Allah and his Nabi has told me. I tell you straight, I don't even break my head to convince anyone. Alhamdulillah, for me, Wallahi al-Azim, what Allah and his Nabi told me is absolute. I have no doubt. I swear by Allah, I doubt what my eyes see and I doubt what my ear hears, but I don't doubt what Allah and his Nabi has told me. Chapter close. We can argue and discuss this here. Everything of deen is logical. Some things are above your logic, but nothing is illogical. There's a big difference between the two. If it's above your threshold of cognizance and function, you can't claim it to be illogical. It's logical, but it's above your logic. There's nothing illogical about deen. Yes, it's man. That's the cutoff point. If what I cannot comprehend becomes illogical, then by that definition, every child is going to say, my dad doesn't make sense. Then we all are illogical. But is the benchmark and the yardstick our kids? Deen is pure. Deen is wholesome. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih Muslim. And then the angel of death went back to Allah and he said, أَرْسَلْتَنِي إِلَىٰ عَبْدٍ لَا يُرِيدُ الْمَوْتِ. Oh Allah, first strange encounter. Went to him and this is what he said. Allah said, this is my servant Musa. Go to him. Tell him you are Malakul Maut. Identify yourself. Tell him he has a choice. If he wants, he can put his hand on the back of a bull. And for every strand of hair he touches, he'll be given 1 year of life extended. فَلَهُ بِمَا غَطَّتْ يَدُهُ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ سَنَى. And so the angel comes and identifies. That's for Malakul, that's for Sayyidina Musa. For you and I, no identification, my brother. He's just going to come, he's going to gate crash. إِنَّ الْحَبِيبَ مِنَ الْأَحْبَابِ مُخْتَلَسُ لَا يَمْنَعُ الْمَوْتَ بَوَّابٌ وَلَا حَرَسُ فَكَيْفَ تَفْرَحُ بِالدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتِهَا مَنْ يُعَدُّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّفْزُ وَالنَّفَسُ قَدْ كَانَ قَصْرُكَ ذَا شَرَفٍ قَدْ كَانَ قَصْرُكَ ذَا شَرَفٍ لَا يَتْرُكُ الْمَوْتُ ذَا جَاهٍ لِعِزَّتِهِ وَلَا الَّذِي مِنْهُ الْعِلْمُ يُقْتَبَسُ. Surely the angel of death will make a sudden presence. He'll just abduct you. Allah speaks of two different, those that are the pious and those that are wicked. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. Those who are wicked, the angel will rip their soul out. May Allah save us from that. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. The pious, they'll just untie the knot and the soul will just float out. So the process itself is painful. An injection, an inoculation, a jab is painful. But the hand of the doctor makes a big difference. The hand of the doctor, the process is painful, death is painful. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu is in the throes of death, his son is there. Sifli al-Maut, dad, you're passing on, the conqueror of Egypt. We went to his masjid there in Egypt, you go there, who Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was. And the son is there. He said, dad, you're about to pass on. You're in the throes. Tell me what you're experiencing. كَأَنَّ جِبَالَ الدُّنْيَا فَوْقَ صَدْرِ. Oh, my son, is like the mountains of the whole world are sitting on the chest of your father. وَكَأَنِّي أَتَنَفَّسْ مِنْ ثِقْبِ الْإِبْرَةِ. And I'm gasping for breath from the eye of a needle. So it's intense. But the hand of that surgeon or doctor is different. So Malakul Maut will come. وَاشْتَدَّ نَزْعِي وَصَارَ الْمَوْتُ يَجْذِبُنِي مِنْ كُلِّ عِرْقٍ بِلَا رِفْقٍ وَلَا هَوَنِي. The poet says, وَاشْتَدَّ نَزْعِي, and my pain started intensifying. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ. Read my brother. The calf of one leg envelopes on the other leg. Either this is literal for many dying people, verse of the Quran, or it's an expression in a figurative context of intense pain. But the verbatim translation is what I told you. وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ. And the shin of one leg envelopes on another. إِلَى رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَاقُ. Off he's going. So some people, their soul will just be untied and very freely it will leave. May Allah make us amongst those fortunate people. And for others, it would be ripping it open. أخرجوا أنفسكم اليوم تجزون عذاب الهون بما كنتم تستكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق وبما كنتم تفسقون. Can you begin to imagine what that would be? May Allah make it easy. So go to Musa alayhi salam and tell Musa alayhi salam that he has a choice. He can take his hand, put it on the back of a bull, and for every strand of hair that he touches, he'll get 1 year. And so the Malakul Maut comes and identifies himself. And that's the poem I quoted. Inna al-habiba min al-ahbabi mukhtalasu. That the angel of death will come and just abduct. La yamna'u al-mawta bawwabun wala harasu. No doorkeeper, no security can tell the angel of death you're a trespasser. Listen, you're not allowed. No, Malakul Maut. Oops, sorry. In Madarik al-Tanzeel and in Ihya, both the places I read this incident. You can reference it there under this ayah. Yeah? فَلَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٍ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. No soul knows where he will die. In both these places I read this incident. There's a book, Al-Anbiya wa Malakul Maut. I'm going to wrap up now. The prophets and Malakul Maut. So interaction between the Anbiya and the angel of death. Different dialogues, different interactions, different meetings, different correspondence. And it's quite a riveting read and a very intriguing. It's in Arabic. I don't know, someone's going to ask me for the book yet, so it's in Arabic. Al-Anbiya wa Malakul Maut. So anyway, there's an incident mentioned there. And I told you I read it in Madarik and I read it in Imam Ghazali as well. That one day Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was at one place and with him was another person there. And then Malakul Maut made his presence. And Malakul Maut gave that person like a scary look. Imagine the angel of death give you that look. You know, you see, the doctor felt my pulse and then there was a bit of a frown on his head. I just hope he's telling me the truth. I just hope all is good. But the way he looked a bit puzzled. He looked uneasy. So I hope they're not withholding information. speculation because of his facial expressions that could be something Allah forbid otherwise. So anyway, after that Malakul Maut left, so that man asked Sulaiman alayhi salam, who's that? So he said, that's the angel of death. So he said, Sulaiman, Allah has made the wind subservient to you. Can you please instruct the winds to take me to some very remote place? I told you where I read it, scholars want to read it. Madarikut Tanzeel Allama Nasafi, under this verse here, you'll find it very easy. And Allah says he had made the wind subservient to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam.
ولسليمان الريح عاصفة تجري بأمره إلى الأرض التي باركنا فيها رخاء حيث أصاب.
Allah says the winds were pleasant. Today you talk of eco-friendly, right? Eco-friendly and protect and you know, preserve nature and don't have all these emissions, etc. The word ruha'an is suggestive that the wind of Sulaiman alayhi salam was so pleasant to the atmosphere that when everyone would take to the atmosphere, it wouldn't disrupt the creation around. Even birds could fly in the prisons. Wow. That's the beauty. Fly Sulaiman Airways. I mean, not myself, but yeah. But Allah's taken me across, alhamdulillah. As a kid, I always used to fancy becoming a pilot. And I didn't become a pilot, but Allah took me around the world, alhamdulillah. So, yeah. So Sulaiman alayhi salam instructed the wind to take him to some remote place. And then, subsequently after that, Sulaiman alayhi salam met with Malakul Maut again. So Sulaiman alayhi salam said, you know, last time you were here, that man got so uneasy after you looked at him and he instructed me to make the wind take him to a very distant location. What was the reason for that interaction? So Malakul Maut said to Sulaiman alayhi salam, I was given the command to remove his soul at a very distant place in a short time. I'm wondering, what was he doing here? Read it there in Madarikut Tanzeel. I'm saying, but you here? You're going to be dying there. وَمَنْ كُتِبَتْ مَنِيَّتُهُ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَيْسَ يَمُوتُ فِي أَرْضٍ سِوَاهَا. Whoever's death is decreed at a place, you're not going to die anywhere else. Wallah, if it had to change, that you were going to die different, then you know what, my brother? My Nabi and your Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a young lad. He was coming back from Medina, according to the preferred opinion, to visit the grave of his father, Abdullah. That's the preferred verdict. That Abdullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father, passed away at the age of 18. There's many narrations, but that's the preferred. Amina radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mom, Umm Ayman, was with. Some narrations say the grandfather Abdul Muttalib as well. They were coming back from Medina, and this innocent, masoom child who was going to reshape the universe forever, in the center between Makkah and Medina, at a location called Abwa. This is where Allah had decreed the death of Amina radiallahu anha. You would think, I would argue, maybe perhaps just get him back into Makkah, settle him down, let him find his feet, and then maybe let nature take its course. But that's the place. On one travel of mine with the family from Medina, we went Badr, and then I asked the driver, I need to go to this area. We couldn't get the precise location, but just that area, and I gave them the historical perspective of it. And that was the place where Allah had decreed the death of the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So inna al-habiba min al-ahbab mukhtalasu la yamna'u al-maut bawwab wala fa kayfa tafrahu bid-dunya wa zinatiha man yu'addu alayhi al-lafz wan-nafs. Why you been so arrogant when your breath is being counted? It's clocking, it's ticking, it's moving, it's eating up. Imam Shafi'i said, I lived with great pious people. And if you want me to summarize all my learnings of all the years, I'll tell you two things. Al-waqtu sayfun, qata'tahu aw qata'a. Time is a sword. Either you cut through it or it cuts through you. Say the pious, you know, our lives are like identical suitcases. Some people just know how to pack better than others. Our lives are like identical suitcases. You see people who travel, say, wait, that's not how you pack, wait. I'll show you, you don't need a duffel bag, brother. Wait, I'll show you, put this here. Can we open that up, right? No problem. Can we stash this there, yeah, right? Okay. No, don't even do the extension also here. Wow, practical, user-friendly. Some people, they pack a lot in their 24 hours, and others pack absolutely nothing. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Did I not give you a life long enough? If you wanted to find me, you would have found me. The ulama say it's a life of 18 years. If Allah gave you 18 years, the doors of excuses are closed. You're done. I gave you enough time. It's over. So, فَكَيْفَ إِنَّمَا نَعُدُّ لَهُمْ عَدَّا. Allah is counting and recording, not counting, recording. Allah knows everything. Okay, so here we end on this note. I said who Sayyidina Musa was, and from there we digress, but I believe the reflections were meaningful in its own capacity. That, you know, the angel of death comes back to him, gives him this offer that you could, if it was us, that we could hold a bull. We can like, wait, I need to look for a hairy bull. And I need to hold with two hands, you know. So I can live. And Musa alayhi salam said to the angel of death, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. You can check my references, my brother. Okay, after this what? If I hold and I live, so after the word. So Malakul Maut says, still death will come. Yeah. So I said, if it has to come, then let it come now. Yeah. It's going to come. It's only the being of Allah. Allah says it in the Quran. Kullu man alayha fan. Kullu man. Wallahi, I say this in my talks. Nothing gives me peace, comfort, tranquility like reading Quran and reflecting over the meaning. If you haven't studied Quran, I implore you, if nothing else you take from my talk today, start your journey of understanding the Quran. Your rapport with the Quran, your connection with the Quran, the richness of your prayer, the sweetness of your worship will just take a different dimension altogether. Reading Quran, understanding it directly, it's just another ecstasy. Some feelings are indescribable. And understanding the Quran and reading it is indescribable. This is some things you cannot explain. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everybody is going to perish. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. It's only the being of Allah. So, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, well then if it's ultimate death, then take my soul away. So yeah, I'll leave you on this note. This is who Musa alayhi salam was. And because he said, I'm the most learned, he was sent to go and meet Khidr. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, when Allah gave him the location, Allah didn't pinpoint it. Allah gave a vague place, the confluence of the oceans. And that could be very vast. Hey, where I'll meet you at the airport. Arrivals, departures, lounge, where? You could be spending there for 10 hours. Allah didn't pinpoint the location. And because of that, Musa alayhi salam went past and he came back. And that was to say, that's how knowledge comes. That's how knowledge comes. So my brother, my opening comments, my concluding comments, I need guidance, you need guidance. Become open, become accessible. Tell your spouse. If you're married, you don't need to look for anyone else to advise you. Bro, if you're married. Okay, can I give you guys a last humorous one? What time is Asr Adhan? Is time setting? Right. Let me give you guys a humorous ending. So we're driving, right? My wife tells me, I don't know why you keep on saying this to people. I'm like, it's real, so I got to say it. Why must I say it? It's real. So anyway, we're moving. And then she happens to own the radio station, local radio station in South Africa, and they're playing one of my lectures. I'm not going to suggest to my wife to listen to me, but you were smart to own it. And okay, you listen it. I'm just driving along there. And I was speaking, it was quite emotional and whatever. She's tearing there. Getting emotional and she's crying. I was holding my breath and just driving along. And my wife is emotional and she's crying.
Then she switches the radio off. There's a bit of a silence. I brace myself. You sound much more pious than you are. I'm like, wow, babes. There we go, man. There we go, my love. Wow, babes. You sound much more pious than you are. If it wasn't you, I would have been blown away by this imam. I would have been blown away. That's fine. So listen, bro. You need someone to tell you. And if you pair up, you know what? You'll get it in frankly, you'll be told. Sometimes I get, you know what? Do me a favor. Listen to your own recordings. What you tell in the world, do me a favor. Listen to it yourself. But it's fine. It's good. Somebody needs to tell us. I say to people when I do marriage counseling, and I'm doing it for the greater part of 25 years, I say, you know what, even if I didn't resolve the issue between you and your wife, the fact that your wife tells you a mouthful and you tell her, this is healthy for your ego. Even if the marriage didn't get resolved, at least your ego is deflated. Umar radiallahu anhu comes in the masjid, he says, gather everyone. The whole masjid is brimming to capacity. Sorry to bother you people. Before Islam, I was a shepherd and I used to graze the flock and they used to give me dates. Ibta nafsa. Who's going to tell Umar anything? So they tell Abdurrahman bin Auf, I mean, Umar, you got to be real, man. We can't leave our work to come here to know that you were a shepherd. I mean, we could do this at a better time. No, read the narration. So they tell Abdurrahman bin Auf, like, please tell Umar, you know, with all respect now, badane bega kila ne bajem ke ke ne te charwaha uta. Tima amrunu. Like, is this the time to know that you were a shepherd? Said, sorry, I was walking. And while I was walking, I got the whisper in my heart. Anta amirul mu'mineen. Man da aftal minka. But Umar, you must be great, man. Everybody says, Umar the great. And my ego started whispering. And I needed to strike the same time. And I needed to hit it hard. So I'm sorry if I've taken up your time, but at least I've disciplined my ego. So I wanted to tell you that side of my life, which probably you don't know. And that's the only way I could hit at my ego. These were giants. These were legends. These were people whose finger was on the pulse. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق والأقوال والأعمال فإنه لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئها فإنه لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.